Hello, welcome to this week's P&E chat. International break, not for us, Dave.
Not for us.
And delighted to say that we both considered it. We both really thought about our positions this morning. Neither of us have resigned.
No, we decided neither of us will be the new Brexit secretary either. So we decided to stick with this job, didn't we?
With advance apologies, obviously we're here. It's Thursday afternoon. Plenty of really bad Brexit jokes.
Yeah.
Plenty of jokes about not being on a break. And possibly some reference to Rock Paper Scissors.
Definitely, yeah.
Over the next little period. Yeah. But questions, comments on anything and everything, keep them coming. Start what we always do is reflecting on the weekend, and well, it's like night follows day.
I know.
A trip to Bristol City results in 3 points.
A win, yeah. It always happens. No, a first away league win of the season down at Bristol City last week. A deserved one, I thought, and as you alluded to there, Preston always beat Bristol City, don't they? Always. I think that's five wins on the bounce at Ashton Gate, 6 wins on the bounce against Bristol City, home or away, and 11 games unbeaten against Bristol City since 2013. I think it's just a remarkable record, isn't it?
It was ridiculous, wasn't it? I mean, on the sort of performance itself, it was a good away performance, wasn't it?
It was, and as Alex Neil and a couple of the players have alluded to since then, and I did in my report, it was very much a last season performance. Strong at the back, a lot of attacks on the counter. Breaking up Bristol City's play quite high up, in their half and countering from there. And it was comfy. You know, there's one save for Declan Rudd to make, which was a Josh Brownhill free kick, 7 or 8 minutes from the end. But to be fair, Bristol City didn't really lay a glove on North End, and pretty solid 1-0 win. You know, I think if they scored another 2-0, I don't think Bristol City could have had too many complaints on that. But especially in the first half, North End looked really lively on the counter attack. That's where they got the goal from, and you know there were chances, similar sort of chances either side of that. Yeah, so apart from getting absolutely soaked pre-match when we timed our walk from the car to the ground, just as there was a sort of downpour over the West Country, it was a good day, wasn't it? We could ride out by about Birmingham on the way back.
Yeah, it was about Birmingham on the way back. I was going to say, we arrived after an interesting conversation with some car parking attendants, which made it clear that we didn't know whether our car would be where it was when we got back. Whether we'd be able to get to our car. Fears about getting the car locked in and then getting absolutely drenched.
Started badly and got better.
Well, I did say when we sat down,
yeah,
we arrived in the press room and it was pasty and chips. That's always a sign that things are improving, especially the northerner heading so far away from home.
Yeah.
And then, it was onwards and upwards from there. Mm-hmm. What was the best part of the performance? I mean, defensively very good. Alex Neil pointed to frontline fluidity, didn't he?
Yeah, he was talking about that rotation. It was this normal sort of 4-2-3-1 formation. Maguire was at the top point, Robinson left, Barcazen right, and Daniel Johnson on this occasion in the number 10 role. And especially Robinson and Maguire swapped round, rotated quite a lot, didn't they? He just liked that movement, and that was pleasing. I think that caused Bristol City quite a few problems. I thought DJ was very good in that number 10 position. We've seen him further back on the pitch, in midfield mainly this season and last under Neil, but you just put him in that number 10 role. Had Gallagher playing deeper with Ben Pearson, Alan Brown on the bench. And I don't know, he said he wanted a sort of technical number 10 rather than a running number 10, to use his phrase. And it just seemed to work really well. You know, and as I say, there was, you saw the winning goal. DJ ran with the ball from his own half, fed Maguire, who was just over the halfway line, but right out on the left-hand side, wasn't he? He came inside on his right foot, swung a beauty of a crossfield pass over to Barcazen. Barcazen into the box, his cross was blocked, and DJ had meanwhile got into the box. He went down the right-hand side of it, knocked it across goal, and there was Robinson coming in from the left. So all that rotation was working really well, and sort of summed it up with a goal.
Can we play you every week, isn't it?
Really? Oh, no,
down
yeah.
There,
yeah.
Down there,
yeah.
I mean,
if we could play Bristol City every week, we'd be in the Premier League. Yeah. It's just remarkable. You look back in history, there are certain teams who you tend to do all right against and some you don't. I highlighted Ipswich as being a team North End haven't got a great deal out of these past two or three seasons, certainly since they got back to the Championship. back in history, we always used to play Norwich. North End always used to play Norwich in the Cup. We always used to get absolutely tanked by them. There were other times we played Mansfield, was one of those teams we used to play and win a lot in the Cups. But Bristol City, for some reason, were just hit a, North End just hit a sign on them, you know, got the sign over them, and long may that continue.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. The wider picture, I'm going to talk about some more individual performances in a minute, but the wider picture was interesting, sort of. It was on the knife edge, wasn't it, going down there? Six unbeaten, but only outside the relegation zone on goal difference.
Mm-hmm.
Now seven unbeaten with a third winning that little run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And 18th.
Yeah, yeah. So it gives you that lift. However good unbeaten runs are, you know, it's nice to do, but when there were four draws in that, it just shows how important wins are, doesn't it? To sort of, they make the wins really do make the difference. You know, the draws just sort of give you that little bit of extra stability, but no, that extra win, it's just giving them that a little bit of breathing space between them and the bottom. And then you've got the three clubs above them, is it Wigan, Brentford and Sheffield Wednesday, are just sort of bunching up a little bit, aren't they? Just
sort of bunching
up. Right, yeah.
Point looking at it, wasn't it? If they, say we'd beat Rovers a week Saturday, they were in 5 points of Rovers, who were 2 points off the playoffs. So it's suddenly bunching up very nicely. Yeah. Yeah, if my computer loads and we can look at the bottom of the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so 18 points, same number of points as Rotherham in 19th, but two clear of Reading, Millwall, Hull and Bolton still only. See, there's 2 points to four teams below them.
Yeah.
Ipswich now seven further back.
Yeah.
But then it's only 2 points to Sheffield Wednesday and Wigan, three to Brentford.
Yeah. Four to Stoke.
Four to Stoke.
And Bristol City, the squeeze within four of Bristol City, you know.
And that is mid-table. Yeah. The heady heights of. So it's and you would say Rovers presents an opportunity, wouldn't you?
Yeah, international break. definitely. North End have been pretty sound at home this season, so fingers crossed. If they could win that'd be a real big boost, because they've got a real toughie against Middlesbrough 3 days later in the league at home. That'd be a real tough one. And then it's off to Birmingham after that, who showed some really good form this season. I'm quite surprised by that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is a little piece on our website looking at the eight games running up to the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Tough little run to come, but starts with Rovers. Just back on Saturday, Daniel Johnson.
Yeah, very good.
You mentioned him briefly.
Yeah, Alex Neil described it as the best performance for North End since Neil's been in charge of the club. Well, these last 15, 16 months, and probably under him it is, I'd say. I thought he started last season very well, dipped a little bit, picked up again later on, but then obviously, I think this season, since he's got back into the side, he's started to come more into his own, and just that more advanced position on this occasion seemed to work.
Yeah, it did. It did. There's a bit of work ethic there, isn't there, sometimes, that you don't associate with DJ.
Mm-hmm. I think it's his style. Sometimes it's his style that he might not look like Ben Pearson, and that he's running around and sort of grafting after people, whatever. A bit more of a different style of running and whatnot, but that's something Neil highlighted. He said you really have to have that, you know, extra bit of work ethic to go alongside the technical ability and skill. But, you know, DJ's a sort of long-serving North End player now. He's been here, 4 or 5 years. We saw in League One when he first arrived, scored 8 goals in his first half season. You know, big part of North End getting out of League One. First season in the Championship, he was North End's leading goal scorer. You know, the ability is there. It's just sometimes finding a place for him, and you know how it's going to work, and finding the right pairing for him.
Darren Parkinson says, excellent win and performance Saturday. Well done all. Hope our January shopping goes better than Brexit.
Couldn't go worse, could it?
There's probably less resignations,
I think.
Yeah. It is now the barometer that everything we're setting.
Brexit. Yeah.
Nothing can be worse than.
North End could swoop for Jacob Rees-Mogg or something like that, couldn't they? That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Blimey.
You better think about it.
Doesn't it?
Political allegiances aside.
Yeah,
excellent win on Saturday. Nicely positioned in the league table.
Mm.
Alex Neil's got some decisions to make over the disaster break, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Josh Earle kept his place at left back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tom Clark staying at right back. And the interesting thing, that's what the point I was going to, because I forgot what point I was going to make.
Very pondering.
I had a point, and I thought, I'll read what Darren's got to say, and then it completely threw me.
I thought you were there going, one of these dramatic pauses or something.
It was a bit long for that, wasn't it?
Which I know you're not.
Yeah. As much as I scratch my chin, I can't. At least I've had a shave, but nobody's gone to film it. It's wrong me again. There we go.
Yeah.
Midfield dynamic is interesting, isn't it? Alan Brown dropped.
Yeah. I can't, you know, he had a couple of games on the bench last season, but it's quite a while since, you know, Brown missed two games earlier this season with injury and he just wasn't in the squad with him. But this is the first time I can remember him for a while being dropped down to the bench. Neil said he needed a rest. I spoke to Brown last week, did an interview with him midweek, and he admitted then he wasn't totally happy with his own form and said he'd expected to be dropped at one point or another. So it's, you know, it just shows that, you know, no one's position is safe or should be safe. You know, like Paul Gallagher, he could totally justify being brought back into that team, not just for his goalkeeping heroics, but the fact he'd been coming off the bench in other games, you know, in that game and scoring, and at Villa and scoring, and, you know, I think it was right that Gallagher got a start. It was a case of who dropped out, and then, you know, he decided to accommodate him deeper in midfield by pushing DJ forward. So that worked out well. So you alluded to the other couple of names there. Josh Hill kept his place, and Tom Clark at right back kept his place. I think at the moment Clark has been doing very well these last couple of games at right back. I think he justified that decision there. Sometimes put him there against a winger sometimes looks. It's hard work for him, but these last couple of games anyway, I think he's looked very comfortable there. Won a lot in the air at Ipswich, for example, did well last week. And then Josh Earl at left back got his chance at Ipswich because Andrew Hughes had shin splints and a bit of a back issue, and speaking to Alex Neil after that, you know, after the Ipswich game, I asked him about it, and he said what Josh Earl needs, he needs to hit the ground running when he gets into the team, but sometimes as a young player you do need a bit of a run against to get going rather than coming in and out. So I think it was important he started last week. He got a couple of games on the bounce to establish himself. Probably it wasn't helping Josh to sort of come in for a game and then come out again. And I thought bar the first 10 minutes when they were getting Jack Hunt down that right wing back position against him and he was getting a bit of joy down there, I thought Josh did fine. I thought he was far better than he had been at Ipswich, probably because he was just getting more used to the pace, you know, and the physical demands of the game.
Yeah, good comments coming in. Good afternoon, Stuart Dagger, as ever. Sean Orton, a couple of comments from Sean. First one on your point there. To be fair to Brown, to top last season would take some doing.
Yeah,
it would. It's a challenge you'll set themselves, though, if they want to kick on, isn't it? Same goes for Ben Davies, who admittedly started slowly, had a breakthrough season to kick on. And Sean referencing some news from a couple of hours ago. Blackburn Rovers, the away end on the 24th, is now officially a sellout.
Right, yeah.
5,533, Rovers have said they've sold, so that is a sellout. But as Sean quite rightly points out, Rovers sold out means 5,500 gutted plastics come by 45 on the 24th. It's a derby. We love derby, don't we?
Yeah, we do. They're always... They're rarely classics, though, are they? You never get an absolute classic game of football, but, you know... North End play like they have been doing these last couple of weeks, you know, nice and solid at the back, bit of flair going forward. It should be a decent game, I hope.
Yeah, we'll talk on Rovers a bit more next week, but they're enjoying life back in the Championship, aren't they?
Yeah, they seem to have settled pretty well in. Spent a bit of money this summer. I think they've been well backed. I think that's been an issue for their fans in the last few years, but I don't think they could argue really with, you know. Some of the, you know, they signed Brereton for a lot of money. They signed Armstrong, didn't they? I know North End were very interested in him. Got Bradley Dack there, who's doing very well, adapted really well to this division. So, yeah, they spent a bit of dough there, and they're doing, you know, they've settled in fine to this division, and you know, the bottom end of it won't be an issue for them, I don't think. I think they're just at times, you know, they've had a couple of results, which, you know, a typical Championship. They've had. Some decent results, and you know, like a 1-1 draw at home to Rotherham when they equalise. You know, it's probably they probably don't see that as a finest moment, similar to North End when they played Rotherham the other week. So, you know, but that's Championship. Sometimes you get a couple of iffy results in there, don't you?
Yeah. I think we are having technical problems.
Not again. Sat the cameraman. We have done. He's not here today.
We're back.
Apologies, this isn't the BBC, you know.
This isn't the BBC, and Ian is not behind the camera, so no. I'm relying on a laptop in front of me to tell it's working. Let's talk about today's events. Republic of Ireland.
Yeah. playing tonight against Northern Ireland in a friendly at the Aviva. Callum Robinson, Alan Brown, Joe Maguire in the squad. You'd think Callum Robinson would start it, the man in form. Don't know if Brown will, with, you know, club form not perhaps being the best, and the fact he didn't feature in any of the, you know, either the two internationals in October. Maguire, you'd think, would have a chance of seeing action at some point, wouldn't you? So, so good luck to those lads, and just hope they come back okay.
No, that is.
Yeah, especially Robinson, the way he's playing at the moment. So.
Yeah, it sounds awful, doesn't it? Mm. But it is the main priority.
Yeah.
Mm. It is the main priority to get them back. Most likely to see Callum.
Yeah, definitely. I think he'll start. Again, Republic of Ireland, they're not blessed with a lot of strikers. You know, I think Shane Long's out again, isn't he? So I'd be very surprised if he doesn't start anyway. So unless they're saving him for the Nations League match on Monday.
Yeah, indeed. That's the only interesting dynamic tonight, isn't it? It's worth bearing in mind, as much as it is... Northern Ireland, and there is obviously, you know, it's a big game in that part of the world. It's not the competitive game, is it?
No, it's to build up to the next one.
They need to go to Denmark and get results to avoid relegation.
But again, though, do you see the Nations Cup or the Nations League, or whatever? Do you see that as a be all and end all of your international career? Probably not, really. So
we should see how the North End boys get on. Meanwhile, over obviously. On this side, we'll every enjoying. Happy. By the way, I know Brexit's overshadowed it, but happy Wayne Rooney Day to everybody today.
Oh, it's Wayne Rooney. Yeah,
happy
right,
Wayne
yeah.
Rooney Day. Yeah. Happy Wayne Rooney Day. Cheers, Skipper.
Yeah. How long is he going to play for tonight?
I don't know. At one point, I thought he was going to play 10 minutes for both teams. Yeah. He's a superstar in the States now, isn't he? When his first American cap, 120 for Britain, but for England. But no, he's Anyway, I don't know what I think about it. It's football friendly. I think we're all taking it a bit too seriously.
Yeah,
he'll get a little cameo at the end. Mm-hmm. I think David Silva's kicking off for Spain, isn't he?
Is he? Yeah.
Not having a fight.
Not
like the Northern sense of kicking off. He's literally going to kick the ball and get subbed.
Oh, is that
almost like sort of John Terry 26 minute.
Is that wasting a sub though? Because is this a Nations Cup?
I don't know.
Strange. Anyway, we're all getting rather sentimental. I think we are. We're getting a bit too fluffy in our football world of like pats on the back and whatever.
Potentially.
I don't know if I agree with that. So it's like getting $5 million to walk away from the Premier League.
We might get kicked off air for doing that.
Yeah.
Stuart Dagger. LEP's gone like Leeds United, started well but now stuttering. I think we're...
Oh, Stuart, that harsh. Oh. Harsh, mate. No.
Yeah. We're not as bad as Leeds. Come on.
So maybe we have to sit on buckets like Bielsa does.
I mean, somebody get a sack.
Yeah,
so.
probably will do, actually.
On a TV link, there we go. Stuart, you segued me into TV.
Yeah.
I thought for a second it was Sky Sports and the EFL that pulled the plug. Now, no canned crowd noises, you'll notice.
No.
Just deadly silence. We did a story yesterday, it was very popular with people in terms of the amount of people that read it and the amount of comments we got. Mm-hmm. Come January, so the Sky Sports have announced their next round of televised fixtures. Come January, North End will be bottom of the table in terms of that having broadcast just once.
Yeah, they've only had one live game up until the middle of January. By the time those fixtures are out of the way, North End will have been on telly once, 2-0 draw against Stoke in August. A few teams have been on twice, but then, you know, it's threes, fours, fives, and then Leeds will have been on 14 times by the time get to January, and West Brom and Villa being on 10 times. So I've no issue with some teams are going to be shown more than others. You know, that happens. It's one of those things. But the discrepancy between a team being shown 14 times and someone being shown once is in the same division is a bit ridiculous, isn't it? You know, so don't mind if someone's been on 8 or 9 times, or has been on 2 or 3 times, but sort of a gap 1 to 14 is pretty ridiculous. And I know people criticise Leeds on this debate, don't they? They call it Sky Sports Leeds or whatever. It's not, Leeds don't put their hand up and say, can you show us this week? And I know a lot of their fans are pretty disgruntled about 4:30 kickoff times all the time, Friday nights or whatever. So I'm not pointing the finger at them or anything. It's just like this. Sky have obviously looked at it. It's a business thing, isn't it? Leeds get a lot of fans, you know. They've got a lot of fans in other parts of the country, maybe, or other parts of the world, and it's you know, they know they're going to get the better viewing figures when they put them on. But if it's an agreed TV deal, there should be a little bit more fairness about it. Of course, some teams are going to be on more than others, but for me, it's just wrong, especially when the amount of times you're on, each time you're on, you do get there is extra money in the pot, you know, which, you know, not everyone in this division is flush, are they? So that's where the disparity is. It's not great money, to be honest, being on telly. 100 grand for a home game is not bad at all. 10 grand if you're the away team's pretty, you know, it covers the team's travel cost, the hotel, the coach, and that's about it, really. 100 grand at home is not bad. But it just shows the, you know, the difference between this and the Premier League. In the Premier League, whether you're on a live match, home or away, you get paid £2.5 million per game, and that's on top of your 100 million. So if we're going to be moaning about TV money in the Championship, and there is a big debate about it at the moment, the thing to do, that's why teams are chasing a place in the Premier League. They want a slice of that pot, don't they? So
it's what comes with a top flight dream, yeah. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Two sides of the debate, and we got this sense of two sides of it. I should point out the Wednesday night red button fixtures aren't included in this.
No,
they are a separate issue you've written about. Yeah. And I think both of us.
There's no extra revenue for that.
No.
The thing is, there's one game on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. There's one main game, isn't there, on the main channel,
which
and then all the others
the
are
wedge,
on the red. Yeah, that will count. But on the red button, you just say on the red button, it's sort of one camera angle, isn't it, showing it? Mm. And And we've got this debate now where we're hearing that a lot of Championship clubs are unhappy with the proposed deal between the Football League and Sky, which is meant to come into agreement next year for the next 5 years. There's been talk of between either 15 or 19 clubs are unhappy with it and are threatening a breakaway. I think the breakaway might be the sort of extreme side of it, because where would you break away to? I don't think the Premier League would want them joining up with them, and there's nowhere really to break away to, if you know what I mean. But I think, you know, there could be real ramifications if clubs, what they need the Championship clubs to sign through this deal next week, and at the moment it ain't happening. So I don't know, we're going to get to a point in where clubs won't let cameras into the ground or something like that.
Exactly.
But then, does money get withheld from the TV firms? I don't know. It could end up being a right mess.
Two sides of the debate. Darren Parkinson, our Gates will be even worse off if on TV more.
I don't think they will be, to be honest.
I'm not sure.
I don't think it knocks that many.
I think the Wednesday night TV issue is a bigger issue for away Gates.
Yeah.
And then Stuart Dagger on the other side. I can understand to an extent where they're coming from regarding viewing figures, but come on, let's be fair and give each club a crack at TV rights.
Yeah,
you know, TV money.
Yeah, every club in the Championship, I think, gets 2.85 million at the moment, something like that, as a solidarity payment from TV. That comes whether you're on, and then on top of that, you get the individual amounts for each, you know, every time you're on TV. So there is a pay, you know, all clubs get the same payment in the Championship, a sort of one-off big payment, but then obviously extra comes for each time you're on TV. So, I don't think a TV game massively. It might knock a few hundred off, but not a huge amount, to be honest. So, no offence, crowds ain't great, are they?
No.
You know, so could argue that the gate against Stoke earlier in the season was fairly decent. Stoke brought plenty with them, you know. So the only problem is when you get them a game live on telly like that, you've got about 19, 20 cameras dotted around the ground, and they catch Paul Gallagher giving someone an elbow.
Matt might have got away with it otherwise.
Yeah.
If
it wasn't a few meddling kids, that would have got away with it.
Yeah. Something like that. Right, one final topic today. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Rock, paper, scissors, yeah.
What do you, right, just settle this.
Yeah.
Do you do 1-2 then?
Yeah.
So 1-2.
Yeah.
1-2. See, that's me. Right,
yeah.
I'll take that one.
Yeah.
So
we've not gone mad, have we?
David
not.
McNamara, explain the story.
Yeah. Preston referee, David McNamara. Decent level local ref. I think he can do under 23 games, he does Women's Super League games, he does National Conference North, and you know, he can be a fourth official in the Football League. He refereed a Women's Super League game between Man City and Reading a couple of weeks ago. He'd left his coin in the dressing room, so when it came to tossing up before the game, for which, you know, who's going to kick off and which end you're going to have, he didn't have it, so he made the two captains do rock, paper, scissors.
Steph Horton included the England
captain.
Yeah,
it was live on telly. And anyway, apparently he's not acted in the best interest of the game. The FA have suspended him for 3 weeks, banned starting in a couple of weeks, I think. And it caused a lot of debate, one official from the Women's Super League described it as a moment of madness, which to me sounds a little bit on the harsh side.
Official as in chief, not
referee. Yeah. And he's got a 3-week ban for that now. Come on. Like, I know the guys from Preston, I'll stand, I'm not just standing up for someone in my hometown or whatever, but there's worse things in football going on than you forget your coin and you don't toss up properly and you have to play rock, paper, scissors. Yeah, it's a little bit cheesy, I suppose. But they're trying to encourage more referees, they're trying to encourage younger referees to come in and, work their way through the pyramid. And is this, is this really acting in the best interest of the game?
Do you know what would have made sense? If somebody wasn't happy with it,
yeah,
have a quiet word with him.
Yeah. Take him aside.
And go, maybe don't do that again.
Yeah, remember your coin, or if you forgot your coin in your pocket, send someone back to the dressing room and get it. It's only got to hold the game up for like a minute.
I don't know whether he felt that, I'm on telly, I've got to go, but
it's the old sledgehammer effect, this. A three week ban for that. So there'd be a referee down, the guy can referee in three, across a whole range of divisions. They're saying the shorter referees these days, they've got to be a referee down for a start with, when just a quiet word, look, I'll do that again, like that. Just use a bit more common sense, maybe. He'll probably argue, I was using common sense, just a bit different, so. But a three-week ban is ridiculous, it really is.
Yeah, it's he's got plenty of support, hasn't he? We've done a story today, Keith Hackett, former, referee chief, backed him. Nigel Owens, a sort of great rugby union, referees, backed him, said, I've done it a couple of times, New Zealand Balmeri's game, he's done it.
Yeah, Ospreys and...
Ospreys and Boy, which was,
big game down in Wales, so... we're always going, referees are in the spotlight. We've got VAR coming in the Premier League next season. We've got, Champions League games, you've got fifth official stood behind the goal. We're all meant to be, trying to get this perfect thing where decisions get right. And then you're pulling a referee up for getting the toss wrong. And what's interesting as well, apparently the laws of the game says you do have to toss a coin to decide who's going to kick off. Yet in the laws of the game, in the referee's list of equipment, a coin is not on there. So I think Mr. McNamara has got good grounds for an appeal. It's only a 3-week ban. It might not sound a lot, but three weekends he's going to be sat there doing nothing. When he could be out refereeing games. So a bit more of a common sense approach here.
As you say, in a way it's a fun story, and in a way it's sort of we talked about it before, didn't we, about the game being a bit stuffy and a bit.
Yeah.
A bit too serious.
There's a lot, obviously, football's a serious business, a lot of finance involved, a lot of people's enjoyment or whatever, but there's little things around the edges like this. We're taking things far too seriously. This could have been, you don't want to see every captain doing rock, paper, scissors. I saw a referee on Twitter suggesting that every referee at every game does it this weekend, so it'd be great if England and America tonight, so.
You'd see that, couldn't you?
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. Good debate this week. A bit of licorice all sorts this week because it was international. A couple of comments to finish, and then we'll wrap it up with early news. Mm-hmm. But Steve O'Halloran, these are both on TV. Obviously, the big talking point in the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I thought with the season we had last, we would probably be on Sky more often than in previous years. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I don't think we play our best on camera.
Yeah. That shouldn't be a thing, this is a championship. A lot of games aren't classics. Mm. They are hard work, I did go through the ones that were on telly last year. We're beaten at home to Villa. That wasn't a great game, was it? Because injury ravaged. 0-0 against Bolton on the Tuesday night. And went down to Cardiff on that Friday between Christmas and New Year. And, grabbed a great 1-0 win down there. And then the other one was Derby on Easter Monday. So even last season, North End were only on four times, which... not brilliant, is it? Not a huge amount.
Not far off that average, are you?
No.
Couldn't have been too bad to turn the year.
Yeah.
Graham Bancroft, afternoon. Gents, afternoon, Graham. Peony should be one of the championships that are shown on Sky Sports. That might bring gates down, but the revenue will be great and the publicity of the club will be great.
I don't think they're going to bring gates down a lot.
I don't think it makes a lot of difference, to be honest. But I think, as Dave says, that you don't mind being sort of a couple behind, but to have one club on 14 times and one club on once, I seem a bit daft, even if it is, you know, Leeds United. And Darren Parkinson, just to finish on David McNamara, yet in reaction to the thing about rock, paper, scissors, yet the FA will let poor refereeing decisions go unpunished.
Yeah, they will.
There are
bigger
issues in refereeing than about doing rock, paper, scissors.
Well, we had Charlie Austin last week, didn't we? Poor lad was tearing his hair out after that game, wasn't he?
Brilliant.
You know, like, because nothing gets mentioned about that yet. Poor lad not doing the, you know, the pre-match toss properly.
Charlie got his way, though. VAR in today for the Premier League next year, so probably coming to the Championship not for long after, depending on technology and things like that.
Trouble is, for VAR, you do need multi-camera angles, don't you? It's not just sort of one shaky camera angle on top of the stand.
It is, and a wider debate, and we had this with the goal line technology degrees, you get different leagues playing different rules.
Which
can become a bit risky for me. But I think that'll do. Yeah. Rock, paper, scissors, bad Brexit jokes.
Yeah.
Good fun all. Next Thursday we'll be back to a bit more serious, a bit more conventional. We'll talk tactics and things like that. And Blackburn Rovers key players.
Yeah.
But yeah, week Saturday, big game. As I say, Rovers are sold out. So I'd say when we return to work on Monday after a bit of rest over the weekend, countdown will be officially on to to the football coming back.
No more international breaks until March after
until
this
March.
One.
So yeah.
Yeah.
So no more padding like this.
No. Padding? This is quality conversation, Adam.
All killing off.
Yeah, just sort of, you know, a wider debate.
Good stuff. Yeah. But no, thanks for tuning in as ever.